I don't think I'm gonna be flying out the rest of the year.
Oh yeah, because we're broke.
Definitely that. But next year I'm returning to Florida 1,000% because I'm getting revenge on the fucking course.
I'm not going to Florida, dog.
I'm winning that race.
I'm way too dark to go to Florida. As long as Zerman's still on the loose, I cannot go to Florida.
That's fine. I don't blame you on that one. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, a podcast about music, music culture, music news, all the things music. I am Sean.
I'm Dan from the internet.
Oh, Jesus. And this week we're going to be talking about Grimes and Elon. What the fuck is going on? We're going to review two albums. Arctic Monkeys' new album, Tranquility-Based Hotel, which we've been waiting for a while. We did a little preview episode of the Arctic Monkeys, which if you're here and you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. And yeah, then reviewing Beach House's new album, Seven, or Seven. And we have some little kind of new stories and other little ticks and trinkets that we like to talk about. By the way, this is episode 49. Yes. And we've been doing this 48. It's 48. What? It is 48. Fuck me. All right, bye.
We're all good. We're all good. Episode 48, Free Speech Studios. Well, this is one of the last episodes that I'm doing from Berkeley, actually, because I'll be moving back soon. And this is an interesting episode because it's going to be a little bit shorter, even though we had a long time kind of going into it because we have negative time.
We have negative time.
I've had to deal with graduations. You're like in the peak of training. I have a bachelor's degree now. That's interesting, kind of. But
it's I have a minor, actually. Huh? Officially, I have a minor, officially.
Oh, wow. Look at you. Man. Dr. Bike.
Take a shit.
But this, as far as music goes, this week was very not trappy.
Not trappy at all.
Yeah, I think there might have been a Playboi Carti album or something else that came out either this week or last week, but I just spared Sean from it because I just felt bad. But yeah, this is a very good week for alternative music. But did the Arctic Monkeys bring it back? We'll figure it out. We'll work through it. But yeah, let's talk about this while talking about this as quickly as possible. Grimes. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. This is the first thing. Singles. So
singles.
There's another thing I want to talk about very quickly and barely, but this is interesting. So the Met Gala happened last week, and it's just this, like, jerk-off for rich celebrities and whatever. But the cool thing is that Mac DeMarco, Homeshake, and Colin Caulfield from Div, artists we enjoy very much here on Audio Face, got together and collaborated to make two random songs. I think one's called She's My Sweet, and the other one's called Fuck the Toronto Raptors. Which is made directly for Drake, I assume. Hashtag sit your ass down and watch the game.
Is it really called Fuck the Toronto Raptors? It is. Holy hell, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. What'd you think about these songs?
That's hilarious. First off, when I saw the list of who was in the band, I'm like, this is a hipster sausage fest, and this is going to be amazingly hipstery brilliant. And it was. It's straight indie rock, like so much weed in that room, and it's beautiful. I liked it. It's fun. It's quirky, different. I mean, that's what the hell do you expect when you mix all those guys together? It's if you think of what it's gonna sound like, amplify it by 10.
Yeah, and what you should think it sounds like is this like really kind of funky, kind of. It really takes what I love about Homeshake, which is just he knows how to make a really groovy song. And then Mac DeMarco can really produce well, I think, since he's gotten off of, like, I mean, he's still producing albums, of course, but, like, I think, like, making albums as a solo artist, but as a producer, he's very prolific. And then Div, who you introduced to me on an episode of Audio Face where we did music recommendations, which we're going to do very soon, Don't Sleep. It all just comes together really good. So it's called the Met Gala Red Carpet 7-inch. And, I hope this wasn't just a one-off. I mean, this is probably one of the cooler things that's been made in a one-off, like, at a tour thing, maybe since Gorillaz the Fall.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like Adam for Peace, where you have a bunch of like-minded fellows that get together and make some cool music. So I hope it ends up like that, where they release a couple things here or there and then actually make an album. That would be really nice and interesting. I like that.
An indie solo supergroup. We need that.
Indie supergroup. I am so down. So yeah. Much weed.
Right. And then we go straight past Kanye West and into the crime of Elon.
We leave Kanye alone doing his thing in Wyoming, and Elon, what in the flying fuck?
So, the Elon Musk Grimes thing, once I saw that, I canceled my Model 3 reservation.
that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was it.
I just realized I'm done giving Elon Musk an interest-free loan so he can do shit like this. So apparently Grimes and Elon Musk bonded over AI, and apparently, I think the media is hyping up the dating thing. Like, they were seen once, like, at the red carpet, and, like, they're going on a date as much as, like, me and my slightly more than platonic friend go, like, to a coffee date or restaurant or something. Like, it was a public outing. It's a little bit too much, but, you know, the media loves this stuff, and Grimes needs to do something crazy as well, because she's got an album coming out soon.
Grimes is wild. She went on a riverboat cruise by herself, like, made a boat with, like, 30 chickens and, like, 80 pounds of potatoes and tried to sail the Mississippi River. I am not making that up.
Straight, what the fuck? Where are you reading this?
Oh, no, I just remember that from, like, 10 years ago. Hold on, I'm going to look this up. What? I swear to God.
Jesus Christ.
I swear to God. Grimes River
okay,
boat.
I kind of, like, I didn't know whether you just pulled this out of your ass or this is some sort of...
Yes.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Grimes crazy real-life Mississippi River houseboat. So yeah, dude, don't ever sleep on your boy.
Oh my God, I'm looking. What the fuck? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, 2009. Oh God, yes, you attempted to sail down the Mississippi River in a homemade houseboat. I wasn't joking.
Yep, we all got played. This was just like another publicity stunt from Grimes. Like that's wild.
I remember hearing that on MBE once, and I go, wait, what in the flying hell?
Wow. Jesus. Okay. So let's not talk about that anymore, because that's just wild.
Elon, just don't leave. Your stocks are falling in Tesla, but your new Falcon 9 is doing well, so follow the advice of the Falcon 9 and don't do it.
Stop giving Elon Musk interest-free loans, everyone, please. Anyway, so Spotify, let's time for the douchebag corner. We're bringing back the douchebag corner because
we're everyone's, right.
Everyone's, because we're so right. I just want to like high five hug you right now because in episode 20 of Audio Face, we covered XXXTentacion's. This was released October 1st of last year. And we covered XXXTentacion's domestic abuse case. And we were like, why is this person still touring? Why is this person still making music? Like,
why?
I know we have this conversation about lyrics being intense in music, and we usually give that a pass, because most of the time we can say, okay, this is a fictionalized version. People aren't doing this in real life. XXXTentacion's fucking murder, like, whipping people and beating people in real life.
Like, yeah. Like, stabbing dudes and shit. And females. No,
like, crazy domestic abuse. Really graphic. I think there's a like, pregnant woman that was the one. Anyways,
yeah.
The reason why we're right, among many in the universe, is that Spotify has decided to implement a new set of standards for, I guess, artist conduct. And based on those new standards, artists like XXXTentacion and R. Kelly are not going to be featured on Spotify's playlists anymore, which is where a lot of people actually consume and go into music, and that's where a lot of revenue you get. So you can still listen to music by R. Kelly, XXXTentacion, whatever, on the platform. You just won't find it in any playlists. So what do you think about this move?
Good. They're listening to Audio Face.
Basically, right?
I mean, that's like just mic drop. Like, you listen to us. Thank you. Good shit.
Yeah.
Because we've been yelling about that ever since we read about XXX Dickface. And we're like, let's make sure he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he released music. I just made it a point that this, in producing the show, no matter what ridiculous thing he does, like he releases music, whatever, I'm not going to cover it. I'm not going to talk about it or cover it in like the news we do. It's like a blackout thing. I'm not going to give him any extra attention. And that's what I think the media should, music media should do. And now the music industry is reacting because Spotify is a big player now. And they can say, we're not going to censor your music. We're deliberately saying we're not going to censor it because you can get into dicey territory there. I mean, people are literally getting shot over algorithm changes now. So you really don't want to censor people, quote unquote. But like you, they're saying that you have to uphold a certain kind of standard if you're going to be an artist and make a lot of money off of Spotify. And I think that's totally fair to do. It's a private platform. They should uphold that standard for sure. And I mean, if you're, I mean, I hate to be kind of extreme about this, but if you're angry about this, you're defending fucking horrible people.
Yeah.
There's like kind of no other way about it. You're just trying to find a way to defend horrible people and make sure that they get more money to continue to ignore
like bad people or bad people. Like, that's it. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the douchebag corner, R. Kelly's getting a Lifetime documentary series. So it's going to talk about all the sexual assault abuse allegations. And I think this is good because people don't know or they don't remember. People like us, we see the Boondocks episodes. Like, we understand kind of the history around it. Even though we were really young when all the R. Kelly stuff was happening, and although, honestly, not much younger than the girls involved in the R. Kelly case.
Getting peed on.
Yeah, like, we were about, it's very similar to that age, but, like, people don't understand about this. So the more information that is out there, this is very good. And I also wanted to point out that there's a producer in the industry who also produced Drunken Love, who is allegedly accused of raping and assaulting two female singers.
Oh my god.
His name's Jesse Reyes. Oh, no, sorry. Jesse Reyes is a singer-songwriter who wrote with Detail, who's the artist who has been accused of this, and produced for Nicki Minaj, Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, Lil Wayne.
What about Lil Boat?
God. So yeah, douches.
The asshole corner is what we should call it.
Yeah. So what do you do about this? Basically, when you, as far as producers go, it's weird because if you're a small producer, you have no power. But if you're like a major producer, then you do have this weird influence over musicians. And so
yeah,
it's sometimes hard to take those down, but the whole Me Too movement in general is moving more towards other industries. It's moving kind of out of movies and TV as it was. Now it's going more towards film and, sorry, it wasn't film already. Now it's going more towards music and other places. And so this is good.
No, it's good. Motherfuckers. Exactly. Get them out.
Shout out to Time's Up and also Vince Staples, Loki.
Vince Staples broke him. Why ain't R. Kelly in prison? Exactly. That's a good fucking question. That's a very good question.
That's such a good take. That was a really fire take.
Like, why isn't he? Like, come on, guys. You can't have any more excuses.
Shall we move on?
Please.
Right. Scott Hutchinson, who was the lead singer of Frightened Rabbit, was found dead at 36. It's another case where the person suffered from, like, it seems like they suffered from depression, and so they're found, like, dying alone.
Which is awful.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about these stories, it seems like all the time. It seems like a month doesn't go by where there's some artist who,
you know, it's the life of the tortured artist. I mean, you see that a lot, even like successful people. We had that all last year and a couple this year already. And it really needs to get talked about more, and more effort needs to be put into more awareness and more prevention and everything, because a lot of these cases, just people need to be nice, and that won't happen.
Yeah, and it's not just, oh, we get rid of all the mean people in the world, but oftentimes it's just the nice people or the well-meaning people aren't doing the right things or aware of their negative effect on other people. And so it's about having that kind of emotional reality. I think that it's not just in music, it's just in general. It's a mindset, headspace thing that people can work on. But Yeah, these are all sad. He was only 36.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into the album review of Arctic Monkeys, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino.
Let's do this. Who wants to go first?
Bed and Breakfast, Cafe Lounge on the Water.
Motel 6.
Do you happen to have any music player up right now? To explain like how long the album is, how many songs. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, I'm opening it up like as we speak.
I am trying to as well, but the great thing about being a professional is that you have... It's 11 songs in 40 minutes. You can talk and kill time in order to do that. So it's 11 songs, 40 minutes long. You invited me to go for it first.
Have at it, Haas. I'm really excited to hear what you hear because I'm going to go off.
I know. I'm excited for you to go off. This is going to be fun.
No. Like, not in a bad way, but you're here. Like.
No. Yes. This is good.
Just go.
So with Arctic AM, their last album, I kind of talked about it on the music recommend. I mean, on the Arctic Monkeys preamble episode that we did, and I was like, this is one of the best alternative albums ever made, in my opinion, and I would make strong arguments for that. I think it's perfect start to finish. Like, there's really, like, hard to go wrong with it. And so, how do you follow up with that album? Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino is Arctic Monkeys' attempt to kind of not do that. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that I think Arctic Monkeys, with this album, transcends to the level or the type of artist that can adapt their sound and not just adapt it, but evolve it. The Arctic Monkeys sound like something new on this album, but they still sound like themselves and they sound like they've gotten to like a new level. I compare this to like when, like, this is Arctic Monkeys in rainbows to me, as far as like they got an idea, a focus, like they got a concept together, they got a sound, they kept it pretty simple. Every song, if I'm actually talking like less conceptually and more just about it, the album is slower and a little bit softer than you'd expect from an Arctic Monkeys album, but it still has that energy in a way. And I think that's a very tough line to walk. That's pretty incredible. I was expecting a little bit more piano. It's kind of used as a backdrop to kind of hold the melodies together, but I think it's a very good amount of it, and I can tell that it's just very fun to see them experiment with that new motif in the music. But yeah, this is like the Arctic Monkeys kind of as they are best, really. Not only just that, I won't say it's Arctic Monkeys as they are best, because this is just totally different from pretty much anything they've made before, but it still keeps that energy of what they're saying. I don't know if I'm saying it, making much sense of it, so I want to hear what you think.
It's a damn good album. So, I mean, I spoke a lot about them on our past episode, that's why we made it. Because we've been waiting for this album for 5 years. AM, fantastic album, I liked it. To a point, because then I think they were starting to hit their peak, and I go, you really have to change something and make it right in order to keep on going as a band. And to me, this is their Keen of Limbs, to where a lot of fans like hate it and a lot of fans love it at the same time. It's getting mixed reviews for fans, for critics. For most part of what I've been reading, a lot of them love it. So, and that's kind of what happened to Keen of Limbs, where a lot of people are like, what the hell is this? And then it wasn't until later on, like maybe 2 years after Keen of Limbs came out, people really understood the album. They go, shit, this is really, really good. It just took some time. And that's why I feel like with this album, it's going to be the same thing, because it's a complete 180 of what they've done before. Really slow acoustic bass. It sounds like if David Bowie and John Lennon did an album in 2018, this is what it would be. And I fucking love it. The first song, Star Treatment, I've had on repeat for the past 4 days. Or 3 days.
It starts...
I'm not kidding. That song is fantastic, and it's getting some type of Audio Face Award in December, because I don't like to put on songs on repeat that often, but Star Treatment is really, 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 really good. So
I want you to save that for episode 50, because I have a very good conversation that we're going to be doing for that.
Okay.
But I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue.
There's pretty much only one song on the entire album that I don't really like, and that's Golden Trunks, the fifth song. The album, the first four songs are really, really good. They blend together quite well, and they understand it. They don't, one doesn't pull one off of itself, and then Golden Trunks come and kind of felt like it was about to derail, like, oh, no, 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 don't fuck up. And then 4 out of 5 came on right after that, and then it picked right up the album, and it was perfect after that.
I think
Golden Trunks is that's the only song I don't like. I don't know.
It's the closest thing to filler I say this album has, because it felt like, I mean, I'm glad it was there, because I think going straight from Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino to 4 out of 5,
it's too much sauce.
It would have given it kind of like an AM kind of feeling, where it's just like kind of banger after banger. But I actually want to hit back on that, even what I just said, because it took me a second and a third listen of this album, and I've liked it more every time I've listened to it.
Oh yeah, me too.
I was a little bit, not taken aback, because I was expecting slower, but like I was a bit mixed on how I felt about the fact that there is no real song on this album that compares to AM. There isn't, really.
No, not at all.
But I'm like, would I want that? Would I have wanted to sit here and go, they made another AM? Not really, because like AM, it is its own project. It'll stand on its own, as its own thing. And the best bands don't try to recapture what they already did really well. They try to do something else really well in a way that adds that band's spin or adds that band's twist to it. And thankfully, the Arctic Monkeys went on that path, and yeah, they pretty much stuck the landing.
Fantastic album. I really like it. I know why a lot of people don't like it, is they want a new AM. That's not going to happen. And I'm glad that they didn't do that. They changed it up. And, you know, a lot of people don't like change in life in general. So give it some time, and I think more and more fans will come around to it. But it started off brilliantly and ended brilliantly. The Ultra Cheese, which is a really funny song, like the sound, like, there's two titles in this album that made me laugh, and I looked at my phone like,
Ultra
oh, what song
Cheese
is this?
And the world's and worst ever monster truck front flip.
I laughed so hard at that track. I look at the title, I go, the world's first ever, and then it scrolled monster truck front flip. I go, oh, okay.
The Arctic Monkeys also haven't lost their edge either. Mm-hmm. The song American Sports is full of like a lot of cynicism and fun, and also like,
yeah,
They've got lines like he's talking about quantitative easing. He's talking about like okay.
Yeah, don't sleep on your boy.
The economist to me is like, oh, this is interesting. All right, and so
I just can't wait for somebody to drop the word neoliberalism in there, and I'm so happy. Please, God.
He gets
God.
Pretty close. And American Sports is I listen to it very closely. It's a very political album. I think my favorite song on the album is Science Fiction, because it has that kind of like fuck song quality of AM.
It really, it is like 1000%.
Yeah. I think that's the closest thing to capturing that thing of AM. But again, Science Fiction doesn't feel even like anything close. It's an evolution. It sounds different but better. And it's calm rock, but yeah, it's distinct in its own way. So it's basically perfect.
Yeah.
So our ranking system in honor of me graduating is student loans. You can rank it however many loans you want. Each loan is $16,000, and the more loans you get it, the worse the album is. So this album, I would give it like a partially like subsidized loan. Like you just need like an iPad, basically. So like a $500 loan. You're getting off scot-free. Like it's nothing.
I was going to say you're going to community college. You don't even need a loan.
Yeah,
you're going to Cerritos. You're paying $305 for tuition.
You're a citizen in a country that actually gives a shit about.
Yeah, you're going to a private university in Germany. So you still have to pay like a tiny bit, but it's like fuck all still.
Yeah, this is a good album.
That's a damn good album. People, listen to this. Listen to it twice. Listen to it three times. And you'll understand it. All right, it's fantastic. It did not disappoint. Very well done, Arctic Monkeys. Bravo.
The Arctic Monkeys have cemented themselves as the kind of band that, like they're getting close to Radiohead status.
They're getting up there in, man, you might Radiohead this and be one of the best. And that's saying something because we hate everybody in the world.
For all the people right now who want more AM, guess what? AM is always going to be there. And AM is going to be
like in
the
Rainbows.
Bridge. It's going to be like the bridge between the favorite worst nightmare version of Arctic Monkeys, which we were kind of saying was a sound that felt exhausted, like you had made every kind of song, to AM, where it's like, okay, this is where shit gets real. And if I'm trying to think, like, what's Radiohead's favorite album? I think it's subjective based on your own opinion. I think if I had to rank Arctic Monkeys albums, I still like AM more, but this is definitely second.
So yeah, no, this is a, this is easy second.
And I love Favorite Worst Nightmare, but this is easy second now.
Yeah, yeah. And, right, so let's move on to something that's terrible, and please God, let this not happen. So Ticketmaster could replace tickets with facial recognition.
I want to die.
We live in a simulation. This is. Hey, Kanye, remember when you read 19... Oh, wait, okay, Kanye, so never mind.
Ban.
He's banned, damn it. I was going to tell him to read 1984 again. Because this is straight 1984. Big Brother's watching you. You could buy tickets with your face. No. I don't want anything to look at my face unless I'm going to a CIA headquarters and I have, like, late-stage capitalism entrance to something that I shouldn't. Listen. Like, it's got to look at my pupil and recognize my pupil to walk into the building. That's the only time I want anything looking at me in the face. Like that. Pause.
I basically kind of don't want an iPhone just because I don't want face unlock.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm already a little bit iffy because of a couple of rough personal moments in my life about having fingerprint scanners on phones and things. Like, those aren't the most secure, and anyone can just, like, kind of get your fingerprint and you're good to go. But, yeah. This is horrible. I would never give... Ticketmaster! I would rather... Actually, you know what? How do you resell the ticket?
Does it, like, your face pop up? Be like,
wait, we might have actually fixed ticket scalping.
Oh shit, Joe Rogan. Oh shit.
Ticket scalping. All we have to do is give Ticketmaster a database of everyone's face. Let's just give them Facebook and then no more scalping.
I mean, was going to ask, take a picture of your ID so we know it's real. Was it like buying Bitcoin where you have to take a picture of your ID now to make sure that you're not a fraudulent robot?
Ticketmaster will now be using blockchain technology to stock price soars immediately. Okay, basically, this is just a bad idea. Ticketmaster might be doing this, but they're just like preliminary tech statements. They've been doing this thing where they're trying to, bless you. They've been doing this thing where they...
No, that was me laughing because just... Hold on, I have to send this to you.
They've been doing this thing where they've been trying to make it so they can cut down on scalping and make sure that fans can get tickets and fight down on bots and things like that. And so I can see where they're coming from with that, but please don't, Ticketmaster. We're not giving you our face. Not at all, ever. Okay, I'll check that thing.
I'm sending it to Snapchat because I can't link it. No, this just popped up on the article. There you go.
Okay. So Tidal is doing some shady shit. I really need to cancel my subscription before they start charging me.
Thank you for reminding me that. I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, so apparently they manipulated Beyonce and Kanye West's data. They inflated the audience numbers for Lemonade by Beyonce and The Life of Pablo by Kanye West. And it's actually kind of funny because every one of the Tidal users would have had to listen to the album like 45 times a day in order for the numbers to be true. Like, I'm not, like, I'm getting that off the top of my head, so I don't know exactly that, but, like, it would have been some obscene number. Like, you would have had to listen to The Life of Pablo, which was, by the way, garbage, on repeat for 45 times a day in order for those streaming numbers to be accurate.
What the hell?
Or, like, some absurd number like that. Like, 25, 35 times. Like, it's ridiculous.
What in the actual hell?
Yeah. And, like, it was very unlikely it was, like, an error in code, so...
No.
Tidal is doing a lot of shady things.
Well, because... I mean, naturally, because, I mean, think of it. Beyonce, Tidal, Jay-Z, you know, Illuminati confirmed flat Earth.
You know, the Earth is flat. It's just spinning very quickly, so everyone thinks it's round.
What is this, a fucking pizza parlor?
So, God. Speaking of the Jigga Man... Apparently, Jay-Z is producing a Prince album.
What the hell? In 2019?
Yeah. Maybe. So he had a bunch of unreleased music. Apparently, the release is being overseen by Jay-Z, and the title is going to be the exclusive streaming home of Prince's catalog. Motherfucker. Ah, damn it.
You can, the late stage capitalism intensifies. It's a very political podcast, and we're not even trying to do it.
I'm really not trying, but
Tidal's forcing us to.
Every single time, every third time I do this episode, every single news story just ends up being about how we're giving people too much control over things because. Like, I don't even want to go into it. I really don't. I don't have time.
So beach house.
No, but honestly, like, Prince's work can only be on Tidal, this one streaming service that is, the music industry is just so fucked up.
But this shouldn't happen because it's not like, I don't know, because that's Jay-Z's platform that he has, and it's not like, Prince is alive, obviously, so he can't tell people, hey, I want him to exclusively release it. Like, Deadmau5, sure, exclusively release your album title. Okay, that's his will. But it doesn't seem right to do it posthumously and only have it in one service posthumously. That seems kind of fucked up, to skew it into your favor to make more revenue.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? It's too much. Anyways.
At the same time, let's think about Tidal. Like, this is the company of the musicians. It's supposed to treat the musicians better. And so, record labels do shady shit all the time. Of course, musicians that are trying to act like a record label might do shady shit. That might be the counter argument.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't buy it as much, but, you know, it's there. Beach House's new album, 7.
Let's does this.
So, it's not 7 songs, it's 11 songs. It's 47 minutes long, so it's a little bit longer than the Arctic Monkeys. But
still in that magical range.
Yeah, so it's a good set. It's a nice size album. Should I start with this one as well, or do you want to start?
I could start.
Go.
So, it is, how do you want to describe the band, actually, before I start?
Okay, so
Beach House indie.
Yeah, so Beach House is indie, pretty indie. Like,
it's pretty indie, but there's a couple songs that are indie, but most of it's indie.
They've been doing albums since, I want to say, 2008-ish, 2007, 2008. And their albums have progressively gotten a little less lo-fi. Sense. I think Thank Your Lucky Stars in 2015 was like really their breakout, where I really started to notice them. But I'm also a little bit slow to indie, so there's that.
Yeah, that's right. You don't indie as much as I do.
Yeah. But I really liked that album. And then that leads to this. So they're kind of in the indie realm, not
indie alternative-ish, But not hipster shit, but there is hipster shit. So, well, I'll start off. So, first song sounds like hipster shit, but it's good hipster shit. So it's that in between where it's like, okay, this is bordering along a little too much Bay Area, Berkeley bullshit, but it's not because it still sounds good. The
like
second
it's
song,
long
straight
bass lines and drums.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second song, Pay No Mind, straight sounds like a Smashing Pumpkins song. It was really good. Like the deep, distorted bass line kind of sound like a little slow grunge. I'm like, wow, this really sounds like Smashing Pumpkins right now. That's dope. Lemon Glow was good, the third song. And then I got hipstery because then there's a fucking song in French. Yeah. Just randomly. I'm just listening to the album, chilling. I go, wait. This is in French. Okay.
Lincoln.
Then
and Sean's just like that.
Right? Just randomly. Then the fifth song, Drunk in LA, comes on. That's a banger. That's a really good song. And then the rest
that's
of the album was...
Anthem.
That's going to be what?
That's going to be like my anthem for the summer.
It really is. And the rest of the album was pretty good. It wasn't awful. Like, I don't know. At the first song, I go, this could go three ways. This could go really, really bad, really good, or really weird, or really, really good. And it went the middle, where it's really good and really weird. Which I thought so. But I quite enjoyed it with... minus the random French song, because that was just didn't flow with the album at all. It's like, what the hell? What is M83? But at least M83 is French. I don't know if Beach House is French, so I might have to retract that statement. But judging on how they...
We have listeners in France, and we love them. We think we have about two or three, actually.
That's very true. As a German international, I should probably hold my tongue.
You should, dude.
But I mean, I like M83, dog, and Phoenix. I gave Phoenix a lot of awards, so France loves me.
Daft Punk.
Guy, it's not it. It's not Guy. It's Guy. Come on, Dan. You know that. Anyways, good album all the way down. Quite enjoyed it. Borderline hipster shit, but you didn't. It's like us doing a No Chill Island, where you can go a little too much to the far, a little too back, and it was that fine treading line, and it was that hipster heaven.
Yeah, hipster heaven. This album for me hit like the center divider of hipstery stuff, where like a lot of droning singing with like you know that indie kind of thing, but. Honestly, there's enough variation in it for the album for it to really work, and I liked it. I really love Lemon Glow, the third song on the album, and I think the album does well in the beginning more, like in the top more than the bottoms. Like the first six songs, I like a lot more than the last five, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, the top half of the album better.
Yeah, but... As an album, like listening to this as an album, which I think indie is a unique genre and where the construction of the album is usually or can be a lot more crafted and a lot more careful than other genres, I felt like the album flowed pretty well. So I kind of disagree. I even felt like Le Inconnu or the whatever French thing, because my French pronunciations are debatable. I felt that while it was weird, like, it was different, I didn't feel like it interrupted the flow of the album. It's like, sometimes you have songs and albums where they take you almost like on a little side quest. Like, they go to the side and do a little something different sonically, but that's the only time it does that in the album. But I felt like it was building up to that because, like you said, in the beginning with the first song, you kind of don't know what you're getting, but then it kind of takes you on a little bit of a journey. You're going... a little bit in this direction, you're going a little bit in that direction, but like I think you get a lot of good sounds, and the album's short enough to not really overstay its welcome. I will say Last Ride as a closing song is a bit long, but you know, it's indie, what are you gonna do? I mostly like it though.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. It's about time you actually starting to get into indie. I've been telling you about it for you forever.
Well, I've been into indie, and for the next music recommendations, I've been to a lot of... I have a couple indie things to show you, but it's just that I have to find a very particular sound of it because otherwise it gets very annoying and I find that I'd rather be listening to podcasts.
Okay.
It's almost like trap, I guess, where like I can enjoy it to an extent. Actually, I can enjoy it a lot to an extent, but it's not a repetitiveness. It's just I find that there's a certain sound that almost gives me a headache out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it trapped us up for me too. All right. How many loans we taking out?
For this one, maybe like a semester at a expensive private school because you were trying to figure yourself out, but you regretted it and you decided to take a gap year to really figure yourself out. And it worked out after that, but you have a good job, but you have to pay down like a maybe $12,000 loan. So almost a full loan. But yeah, about right. Maybe you had some ramen that year, so you were a little cheap. Did live in the Bay Area, pay like fucking $5,000 a month in rent, live in a goddamn closet box. But what do you think, Sean?
It's a bit specific. I was going to say like a solid, like you take two semesters out of Cal State, like 10 grand because you fuck up and you realize that you hate university and you want to do something else in your life because you're a smart human and you don't want to go into the system because why? And
get a barcode placed on your back, become capitalism, get your title subscription.
Get more Ticketmaster scan your face, get your credit card stolen, rack up millions of dollars in debt, get divorced twice, have your cat die by eaten by a coyote, and then
shoot
like,
up a pizza parlor.
Damn it! I was gonna say go to a Comet Pizza and shoot it up because you've been listening to too much right wing news. Well, I don't even say right wing, like conspiracy news theorists, and now you're trying to shoot yourself on a rocket trying to find out the Earth is flat and shit. Just a solid 10 grand load. And you figure out your life and you end up doing the complete opposite of that. You end up like getting a nice house and like Seal Beach, quiet life. You get the woman that is the woman and doesn't do no wrong. You get like three cats that all live until they're like 25. Or what?
Or man or person or...
Or man, person, or Grimes if you're Elon and whoa.
Christ.
This just got really saucy. Anyways, it's a solid album. It's good. You still haven't taken out a full loan, so you could pay that back in like 2 years and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Solid. Jesus Christ.
Post Malone's good, apparently. Post Malone's actually technically better than the Beatles. I'm just going to say it.
By stats, he is technically better than the Beatles. We live in a simulation.
Oh. He has...
How the hell is back in the USSR worse than what Rockstar? What in the hell?
Back in the USSR? You mean the...
This is a song, that's a Beatles song. That's my favorite Beatles song.
Oh.
We're back in the USSR. Do you know how happy you are?
Yes, okay. I know what you're talking about. For some reason, I was thinking that was a Weird Al sketch.
Oh, no. What the hell?
Been a rough weekend.
It's been a rough weekend.
God. Post Malone has 9 of
Holy
his...
Jesus.
So... All 18 songs on Beer Bongs and Bentleys, which unfortunately we reviewed, are on the Billboard Hot 100, and 9 of them are in the top 20.
We live in a simulation.
These songs include Psycho featuring Ty Dolla $ign at number 2, Better God Now at number 7, Rockstar featuring 21 Savage at number 8, Paranoid at number 11, Rich and Sad at number 14, Spoil My Night featuring Sway Lee, at number 15.
Oh, really?
Ball
Spoil
for Me
My Night?
Nicki Minaj. That one really got to you.
Spoil My Night. That of one. All the goddamn songs. That song is utter dog monkey crap shit. Like, you just got elephant tusked in the ribs because you're trying to hunt an elephant bad. Like, you couldn't even kill the elephant because you sucked that much of a hunter, and you got just murked. And then the baby elephant comes by and stabs you in the ass just to, like, laugh at you, and then you got stomped and you suffocate to death on a fucking elephant tusk. Bad. Spoil my night. Who the hell listens to that crap anyways? The hell.
Ball for Me featuring Nicki Minaj. Stay. And Same Bitches featuring
Bitches. No, no. I can't. I'm like, I want to shut my laptop, turn it off.
And those are only the songs in the top 20. The other 9 are scattered elsewhere in the
If there's one song that belongs in any list, it's Rockstar, but not even the top 20. That's like 50. Anything else sucks, okay?
Rockstar is the only half-decent song on that.
And then whatever acoustic song, I don't remember what it was. There was one acoustic song that actually wasn't bad, and I said that before. And then the rest are fucking same old bullshit.
Yeah, I think there were 2 you liked.
Yes.
I think Rich and Sad. It wasn't Rich and Sad. I was going to say Rich and Sad was the least relatable song I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, Rich and Sad. Fuck off. You fucking prick. You have barbed wire tattooed on your head. I can't take you seriously.
Well, I'm really glad that you've gotten all of your anger out and don't have any more, because J. Cole shut down a Fuck Little Pump chant at his concert this weekend, telling people.
Oh, you little bitch. You've got no testicles. You have you just have a shaft. That's it. You don't have balls anymore. You got Lance times 2, and you're not even winning anything.
Oh my god. What happened?
A few
today?
Shouts of fuck 6x9. Come on, dude. If someone says that, you gotta do it. Oh my. Okay, so, alright. There was at a J. Cole show, there's a brief chanting of Fuck Lil Pump during a set at this weekend's JMBLYA Fest. Whatever the
Jambalaya.
Fuck
that. That's a very good African ditch. Wash yourself.
I was going to say things, and I hit that, you have no idea hard I handbraked.
Not only that, jambalaya is one of my favorite fucking African dishes, so, like, do not start.
The brake is outside of my car in the road because of how hard, it's a Toyota brake, I pulled it out and it doesn't even work, that's how hard I braked. Anyways.
It's okay, they're $20.
Right. The chant started during a brief pause in a set and was cut off when Jay called to the crowd, "Nah, don't do that. Don't say that. You're a bitch."
Fuck 6ix9ine. Like, well, Jay Cole's in the running for that award. But he made such a powerful statement. Well, in defense of Jay Cole, I'll try. I think his music is enough of a statement for what he's trying to say, and he's still performing those songs. And even though I disagree with the fact that he's trying to, like, appreciate those artists, like XXXTentacion, for fuck's sake, like, why the hell are you doing that? These exactly, like, that's why I don't, well, at the same time, maybe you don't chant, like, fuck whatever, because he's ultimately not saying, like, hey, I hate these guys, but, like, they're just misled and they're dumb and I hope they learn their way. He's trying to be wholesome, and I guess that's nice, but I don't give a shit.
If you're gonna make beef. Don't make chicken.
Coming from the vegetarian, that's a lot.
Right. All right. Now to end the podcast.
Lastly,
we always do something fun.
To Qatar.
Next time we take you to Qatar or Qatar because the English wanted to hijack the world and make it sound more proper because they need to colonize more shit because, you know, their empire is crumbling after, you know, into China falling, India. Anyways, Ice Cube claims that the Qatari government wanted to bribe Steve Bannon through basketball. I can't. So they want to, hey, yo, Steve, come on, Paul.
No, so listen, so we talked about this a little bit for some reason, that Ice Cube is forming this basketball league called Big 3, where they're basically taking, like, people who retired out of the NBA already and making them do 3-on-3 basketball to, like, raise awareness of basketball around the world. Like, a cool, like, fun event, right?
Fuck that, make it hockey. Hockey's better sport. Basketball is the same bullshit.
Anyways. Anyways, that isn't really going well, but they apparently testify that Qatari backers sought to use investment in their league to access and potentially bribe Steve Bannon, who used to be the strategist of Donald Trump, used to be the editor-in-chief of Breitbart.
No shit.
That's
they
weird.
They actually tried that. Oh my god, this is a million. This is fantastic.
Okay, so what people are only realizing, and the fact that I kind of just got a degree in all this is really funny, but people don't realize that money is how, like, everyone is trying to influence everyone all the time, and money is the chief way to do that. So, like, not to get too political, but let's veer into the center divider again. AT&T was paying Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, not to do anything illegal per se, but to understand how to communicate him, to access him. It's like, why is a company paying Trump's lawyer to access him when, for example, I can't? I can't go to Trump's lawyer and go, hey, here's $20, which will also be kind of bad. Tell me how to talk to Trump. It's a thing about access that people try to use power all the time. It should be fucking obvious to people, but apparently it's not, but people are just finding it out now. And yeah, so Ice Cube found himself in the middle of that, and that's just kind of funny. Because you started from Compton, and now you're...
Here? Now you're in Qatar. That's rough. God. Don't get jailed, man. You'll never see the light of day again.
I also have some late breaking news. It's also some little, like... So, Cardi B deactivated her Instagram account, which is apparently after Azealia Banks made comments, and... I don't know. This sounds like ridiculous bullshit.
Don't get on the Win Butler Award. Come on.
No. So, yeah, I'm conflicted because she left Twitter, but it was from comments from another black woman. I mean, I kind of actually don't care. I really don't care. I just saw in the late breaking news thing. I was like, oh, is this important? Because if it was Cardi B being like attacked by people, like, because of her appearance or whatever, that'd be like a thing that I wouldn't be surprised by.
Yeah.
But this just seems like a regular Twitter feed where it seems like they get into all the time, and I'm just kind of over it. I don't care.
Like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Whatever at this
music
point.
Let's do music recommendations next week.
Please, I'm down. I'm with it.
And, yeah. And we'll be doing the episode together next week. That'll be fun.
So, yeah, this next week, episode 49, and then episode 50, we're gonna... Got some things playing. We got some.
It's gonna go.
Got
so
some gubbins saucing up.
Also, next week we'll be reviewing Marian Hill's new album. I actually kind of wanted to get to it this week, but negative time.
Yeah, we want it because we like to take our time with albums when we listen to them, so that way we get you an honest review and no bullshit. Definitely bias.
So yeah, you can follow us if you're still listening to the podcast. And I should have said this earlier, but if you're still listening, thank you very much. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. I am on Instagram at DanFromTheInternet, on Twitter at DanFromTheWeb. I'm also very sleepy all of a sudden.
Sounds like you're about to die. I'm at SW Suarez on everything. Me running around the world in spandex and shit.
You had some stuff to release today. You said things.
I was building it up, man. I don't know where it came from. I was like, Kilauea on Hawaii. Just sometimes you need to release some volcanic ash in the air.
That's a blessing, whatever people say to those folks out there, because that's intense.
Right? I like Hawaii. Hawaii's dope.
Yeah. Please don't burn. But yeah, see y'all next week. Bye.
Cheers. Why the fuck is there... What the hell's intermediate?
What?
No. Hold on. No, I'm looking at races. Why do they have two fucking things?
Are you trying to figure out a difference between the races?
They have one race posted twice. That's what's confused. Like, did they change distances? I'm down. I'm not racing fucking Olympic. Fuck that.
Are these races like the same? Are there any differences between the races?
No, they're exact same date. That's really weird. Okay. I don't know why they have it posted twice. That's strange. Just glitch.
So the races are the same is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not doing that then. Part one was a sprint, one was a Olympic, and I would have been super down. But it's Olympic only, and I go, nope, I'm good. I want to race Olympic, not for a little bit anyways.
Yeah, who would want that race?
Hold on, let's see.
I've been talking about the other race in response to you talking about the normal race every single time.
Oh, I know. I'm like just looking.